podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace which connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Amazon gift card when you get a loan. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 270,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. And by lynda.com. Learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,000 high-quality online courses and training videos, all for one low monthly price. To try it free for 7 days, visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. Welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 152, recorded on Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
I'm Gina Trapani.
Ooh, and you snuck in there, Tony. Tony Hannity's editor-in-chief of Lazy Tech Guys, snuck right in there right before Gina.
I did.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. It's great to have you guys, all of your avatars surrounding me as if you turned into TV sets and you're about to kick my butt.
Oh, this way.
There we go.
The TV's that way.
No, the other way.
If only we had like objects to pass between TV sets. If we could coordinate that, that would be great. But we don't have the time to do that because we have a lot of news to talk about. But it's great to have you guys all here. We have a lot of stuff to talk about this week. We're going to be talking about something that kind of took me by surprise anyways, Google's upcoming SDK for wearables. Some news there. A new no-compromise phone that's about to hit the market. It's getting a lot of buzz right now. Kind of interesting stuff. And actually, a ton of app-related news. So we just have a kind of a super-sized app segment to get to in a little bit. But let's get right into the news.
All right. So those of us in the technology and interactive world know that South by Southwest has been finished up last night. And the past couple of days in Austin, Texas, a lot of companies and marketers and app people and all that fun stuff have been whooping it up, eating barbecue while we were here in California making podcasts.
Oh, jerks.
But
I miss South by Southwest.
I kind of do. I was actually supposed to go this year, and I had to cancel, and I felt it this weekend. I really felt it. It was really, But I had fun. I was on Twit. I had fun with Leo, so that was better than going to South By. So, sure. I didn't want any of that barbecue at all.
But
as you mentioned, the surprising news coming out of it from Google is very interesting, as our good buddy Sundar Pichai was there and giving some details about their upcoming SDK for Android wearables. So or Android SDK for wearables coming in 2 weeks.
Sorry, Sundar, I didn't have an actual quote from you.
Here's some of the bullet points of what Sundar might have said. The Wall Street Journal kind of reported on this, and they said that the SDK is meant to be a vision for developers, similar to what the Nexus line is to smartphones and tablets. Google's releasing the SDK well in advance of the actual devices, so that that might use it to get plenty of feedback, kind of like what they've done with Google Glass. Pichai did say, and we can pull up Sundar if we want. Yes, smartwatches are one implementation, but also alluded to the possibility of a smart jacket with sensors.
Smart jacket. I didn't see that one coming, but I think that was just used as an example.
Yeah, this is an example of listen, it doesn't just have to be a watch.
Right.
But this definitely threw a whole big bit of gasoline on the fire of the rumor that Google I.O. will feature a smartwatch that they unveil at Google I.O. And that's something that we've been talking about for a couple of months now, that's been rumored. So this is interesting. So SDK for wearables. So Google is moving forward on wearables.
Yeah, it sounds like they're trying to kind of get ahead of the curve too, you know, realizing that there aren't necessarily a whole lot of devices that might tap into this right now, but if they do this in advance, then that gives it kind of plenty of time, like you said, to get that feedback and to kind of tweak it as it goes along. Tony, do you think that this, from everything that you heard here and from what Sundar had to say at South by Southwest, do you think this means that we won't see a smartwatch at I.O.? I'm not sure. Not sure how I feel about that.
I still think that we'll see a smartwatch similar to how the Nexus line is Google's vision of how they see Android and the consumer market. We might see a smartwatch similar in that fashion where they say, this is what we think this sensor should be used for and how we would expect it to interact with Android devices or other operating systems out there. It would be interesting to see how they fan out against the Tizen watches that just came out from Samsung, the Gear 2 and the Gear Neo and the Gear Fit, seeing as those are, you know, not very much of battery hogs and that they are able to work pretty much alongside of Android very, very well. But now that we'll have a pure Android-based watch coming out, hopefully with this SDK, it won't have a lot of the trials and tribulations that earlier adopters have had with Googleized or Android watches not being able to have very good battery life. I'd also like to see how the WIM Lab acquisition is really going to fulfill this, because I remember you guys actually saw the WIM device like way.
Yeah, we actually interviewed the guy behind the WIM on a very early episode.
One thing I remember with the WIM, it wasn't just a watch. It was like you could pop it out, you could make it into an alarm clock, you could put it on your head and run around circles. You could do anything with it. And that was kind of the foreshadowing that it, you know, with wearables, we don't just have to limit it to just what's from the wrist to the fingertip. And so, I think I've answered the question.
No, absolutely. And, you know, when you're talking about a smart jacket, I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand with what the guys and gals that worked on the WIM team were trying to do. Like you said, with wearables, it wasn't just about having a watch. It was about being able to take this portable computer and embed it in pretty much anything. And, of all companies that might be interested in doing that, Google obviously stands a lot to gain from that kind of massive amount of data that could be generated from doing that. So making Android more tailored to that kind of use case certainly is good for Google.
I appreciate totally the pun there. They're tailoring the smart jacket. So
oh yeah, totally yeah, meant to totally do that.
Well done, Jason. Well done.
I could totally see one of your previous sponsors, also Scotty Vest, taking advantage of this too. Because the personal area network with all the chargers and everything. But that was just for charging devices. Now you can totally implement the sensors in the vest to do, I don't know, anything.
Yeah.
Sense barometric pressure. Why? Because we can.
Yeah, exactly. That's as good enough a reason as most companies need for something. What were you going to say, Gina?
I was going to say that this like raises the big giant operating system question for me that's sort of been hovering over Google like a giant cloud for years now, which is the like Android versus Chrome question, right? Because like the smallest device that Google's ever created, the smallest, fastest device that Google's ever created was the Chromecast, right? Which purportedly ran, you know, a version of Chrome OS, although some hackers said it was more Android than Chrome. So this might be just a branding issue versus a source code issue. But it's interesting to me that they're releasing, you know, Chromecast SDKs, they're releasing now Android wearable SDKs. You know, at some point, Google has to make a choice, or they just need to pick a name and just call them both the same thing. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of licensing issues and whatever. But it's interesting to me that the wearable SDK or the wearable operating system is, from what we're saying here, is going to be Android. Because, you know, Android was built with smartphones in mind, with smartphones and tablets in mind, right? So I think it's hard to take an operating system that's so built out and so featureful like Android and strip everything out of it versus starting with something like Chrome OS, which was built to be lean, mean, and super duper speedy from the very beginning, which has obviously been super successful on the Chromecast. I think that's a little bit harder. I mean, I don't know. I think about like what, you know, would I want a smartwatch running Chrome OS that my phone could cast to, or that showed me now, or that was just, you know, worked as well as the Chromecast? I love the Chromecast. I mean, of course, the Chromecast doesn't have the interaction, of course, that Android does.
I'm trying to keep. I'm trying to keep drinking every time you say Chromecast, and I can't keep up, Gina. It's just not like... Oh, she said it again. Oh,
sorry.
Well, and not to mention kind of what you're talking about there, Gina. Like, I'm trying to kind of pick it apart and imagine what a Chrome-based UI would be on a portable device necessarily. Like, when I think of Chrome, I think of, you know, obviously I think of Chrome OS, I think of the browser aspect, I think of, okay, this is something that I sit down and, you know, I sit at a computer and I work with. Or with Chromecast is kind of broken out, but it's still on a screen. It's still on a big screen that, you know, is kind of the same as a computer screen. So bringing Chrome OS into a wearable kind of thing, I have a hard time understanding what that would be.
Well, and I think also what's got to happen if you look at it from a development standpoint and an app, you know, application development standpoint, I would imagine that what goes into creating applications for Chrome OS versus what goes into creating applications for Android, as we know, are, you know, have some similarities but are quite different. And it looks as if, you know, they're taking the approach of, you know, you've got battery to contend with, you know, clearly that, you know, whether or not Google feels threatened by Tizen or what Samsung is doing, you know, they've got to be aware of it. And there are all those, you know, it's more than just being able to deliver data to a smaller size screen. There's a lot more, you know, in terms of processing power and all that sort of stuff that it's got to take into account. And maybe, you know, they feel as if Android is the way to go, that they can, you know, manipulate it to do that. You know, for me, really, the whole Chrome Android kind of debate, they've got to be working on merging those two paths in some way and resolving them somehow. And I assume that's why Sundar is in the position that he's in.
Yeah, and they've certainly alluded to that here and there in the past.
They have to, because it's fragmented, you know, like that's the insanity of it. So
aren't they already attempting that? Like, didn't they say a while back that they would be able to have Chrome apps put on Android?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
They're already building that bridge. Now, whether they run well or not, I'm sure that's in motion, like they're working on it. But it's already confirmed that they are trying to have that gap closed in a sense. Right.
Yep. And Google Now just came to Chrome, right? In beta builds of Chrome, and perhaps maybe even to stable, there's Google Now, right? I mean, Google Now is basically the user interface for Glass, and is essentially going to be the interface for a smartwatch, although with a smartwatch, you do want interactivity, right? You want to touch the screen, you want to touch the buttons. I mean, I imagine I would want a smartwatch to look a lot like the rich notifications. Like if a smartwatch gave me the rich notification shade from Android and let me stop and play and reply and star and favorite and tweet, you know, right from that kind of, you know, very small, quick action interface that you get with rich notifications and notification shade, that'd be a great watch.
Agreed. They have a similar UI as they do with Glass, Gina, because I know you have Glass. What if they had that on the watch? Would that be a good kind of mesh also for existing Glass users where they're like, oh, I already had this experience. Now I have it on my wrist. Is that a good idea or...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Glass is biased toward voice for obvious reasons. I mean, of course, you have the slider, the touch slider thing. You can do more with, I think, it's a smaller screen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that is an interface that does work. And Glass is running a modified version of Android. Mm-hmm. So it makes complete sense that they're doing wearables with an Android SDK. But it does make me pause and go, what about Chrome OS? Look at the drink, Ron. What about the
Ron's getting drunk over there. Yeah,
it's an interesting choice.
I think it's interesting because you need to talk about the UI and whether or not the Glass UI would make sense for the watch. You know, I look at it like a spectrum where the Glass is all the way over here of the lightest, most, you know, kind of most not get in your way kind of UI, and then with Android being all the way over here with all this information and widgets and all that sort of stuff, and it's got to be somewhere, you know, closer to Glass, but I don't think to go as far as Glass goes, because I honestly think the Glass UI is way, way minimal, and I would want more detail on a watch than you get on in the Glass environment, because that screen is smaller and your ability to interact with it is different. But Gina, building off the thing that the issue that you're concerned with, what I thought was really interesting is this article on Ars Technica from Ron Amadeo, who brings up a great question, which is that, you know, basically, is Google positioning themselves for wearables similar to the way they position themselves for Android itself, which is, hey, we're going to make the SDK and the platform, and we're going to license it out to OEMs to go create the hardware. So, you know, when we, you know, because I know we're all going to get into Google I/O. when we're all there and they hand us that Google, that the Google smartwatch, is it going to be the Google smartwatch or is it going to be the LG smartwatch running Google wearable Android? You know, which I think is, you know, is an interesting, you know, why wouldn't they take that same approach? We all think they're going to make a watch because they made the glass, because they made glass and Chromecast, I guess. Is that why we think that? But that's not.
Yeah, because that seems like the most recent trend of Google right now is, oh, well, now suddenly we kind of create our own hardware in-house. But you're right. That very well could not be the case, especially if they're emulating what they're what they've done with the Nexus program on phones. Because, I mean, Google has not created a Nexus phone yet. They own slash owned Motorola. But, I mean, Motorola, you know, Motorola was a separate division. So, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you look at it. But
yeah, I think the stuff that's happened with Samsung and the move to Tizen, I think definitely has, I don't know if it's forced their hand, but I think it's definitely, you know, moving the momentum of wearables in Google. And they really, I think they, you know, and at I.O., they're going to go big with it and they're going to put a big stake in the ground because they want, of course, they want Android to be the platform of choice for watchmakers. They want Casio to make an Android watch.
Yeah,
you know, they made Android phones. Why wouldn't they make watches again?
And not to mention, it might actually be somewhat limiting to, say, wearables. Like this really could be anything. This could be Google tailoring Android to work in things large and small, the Internet of Things, and extending it out beyond just people, you know, people wearing something. So could be a pretty big deal for Android, actually, when you put it that way.
Agreed. But now Sundar wasn't just talking wearables. In fact, he knew Gina was in the audience and he knew that she wanted to know more about Chromecast. And so
I drank for you on that one, Ron.
Yeah, there you go. So Sundar also said that Chromecast has seen sales in the millions with a widening availability to many other countries in a few weeks. So those of you in other countries that haven't had Chromecast at this point that are tired of us talking about it, you'll be able to play with it.
Canada.
Because now, I don't know if you saw my tweet last night, but that was my my tweet last night was that Chromecast support is the new widget.
When's it going to come to me?
Like, yeah, do you remember when widgets came out and every app was adding a widget? Now we've got a widget and all that sort of stuff.
And I feel like
every app is now with Chromecast support, which is cool, which is awesome. But it's very trendy right now. So
good. It's a trend I can get behind right there. I like that trend.
The Chromecast allows developers to add that to iOS apps as well.
Yeah.
Do you think those developers are more prone to add AirPlay first or Chromecast? Because Chromecast, I mean, if you think about it, for $35, you would be able to get your content up there. But for $100, you could do the same thing. But, you know, as the average consumer, the Chromecast might seem like a more feasible option. So do you think developers these days are, at least in the iOS stance, or say, well, we're going to stick with iOS, and you Android developers, you just stick with Chromecast?
I would guess. I mean, I'm not super close or familiar with iOS, admittedly. But I know a lot of iOS developers. But I would imagine that they're probably developing for AirPlay more than anything. You know what I mean? No. Like AirPlay's kind of home ground, and it's been around for years, and it's the proven thing on the iOS platform. So I would guess that they're probably starting there, and then Chromecast capability is a nice bonus eventually. You know,
well that goes back to my banging the drum for total support. You know, and if you're an iOS developer and you're not adding Chromecast support, then you're just limiting yourself to the audience that can use your app, which is pointless.
No question. That's totally true.
I would be all over it if I was developing an app. Totally.
Yep.
Totally.
Agreed. Yeah. Me too. So let's see here. Let's move on here. Anyone on 4.4.2 KitKat might have encountered a battery drain issue with your device. I have. I've actually noticed this somewhat regularly over the past 2 or 3 weeks. And when you dig into the battery stats, you see something called MM-Q Camera-Demon. And you might ask yourself, what the hell is that? Well, it turns out you can possibly blame Skype for it. Basically, Google has been hearing all about this in their support forums. They've done, you know, extensive testing. I think they spent like 48 solid hours looking into this and then reported on their findings immediately after, and basically said that there is a bug that they're going to release an update to correct. But there are apps that are essentially stealing kind of the camera capability in the background, and Skype happens to be at the top of that list of all the apps that they were looking into. They said, if you uninstall Skype, which some people can't uninstall because they need it for work, you are highly likely to probably not see this again. So ouch for Skype. But there you go. If you had those memory issues or the battery drain issues resulting in the camera, like if you try and launch the camera won't even open at that point. It's like locked to the app, and it's really annoying. You have to reboot in order to kind of reset it. So
I have Skype on my phone, and I've never run into that.
Yeah, I have. And then I uninstalled Skype, and I haven't had it since. So I don't know. Who knows if that's related?
Were you running Skype at the time, or was
no.
was Wow, really?
No, and that's kind of what this article actually specifically pointed out. An AOSP project member said, uninstalling Skype may substantially reduce the likelihood of the bug appearing. Realize Skype is a very important application for many people. Other camera-using apps may trigger this bug as well, but that's been relatively rare. Most applications also do not access the camera when not in the foreground, so they will only trigger issues when actively used. Skype apparently can access the camera when not in foreground, which has me wondering, Skype, why you do that?
Why are you doing this?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't remember that part of the permissions.
So there you go.
You know, when I first saw the story, I thought this was like Google's official recommendation to uninstall Skype. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
snap.
I know.
It was an AOSP contributor. Close, yeah. Yeah. But not yeah. Google. This was not an official Google statement.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, God.
Google saying that they're fixing the bug on Android side. So, you know, that's a little bit of an admission on guilt on both sides. It wasn't Google calling out Microsoft.
Sure. This guy happened to notice that Skype was a trigger for it. And I will also say that this is not the only time I've experienced this. I know I experienced this on my Galaxy Nexus when I was running that as well. So this is apparently an issue that keeps coming to the surface for whatever reason. I'm just happy to see that Google is acknowledging it and fixing it because, yeah, there have been some warnings where in a matter of 4 hours, my battery's done. And I did nothing. You know, I didn't use it anymore or any less than I normally do. And when I check the battery stats before I plug it into charge, it's totally this MMQ camera demon. So it's a demon.
It is a
demon.
It
truly is a demon. Yeah.
You got a demon in you.
So how about putting phones to work when you're not using them, Gina?
Yeah, we got an email from Christopher Lee Woodside who said, hey, have you guys seen this? It's pretty cool. Great way to use all that wasted charging power. And Christopher is referring to a new app by HTC called The Power to Give. You guys remember SETI at home, right? Mm-hmm. It was the screensaver that you'd run on your computer while you weren't using it. And it would use, you know, your sort of spare cycles to try to find extraterrestrial life. This is the same concept. This is what Power to Give is. When your smartphone is plugged into the wall and connected to Wi-Fi, you can opt in to donate your spare cycles and your data connection to various research projects in the sciences and medicine, including SETI at Home and a few others. And you kind of puts your phone to work. And so the idea is they're trying to get lots of people to do this. And instead of having to reserve time on very expensive and rare supercomputers, if everybody puts their smartphone together and donates their spare cycles, that they could resolve some of these very computing intensive tasks kind of distributed across smartphones. Really, really, really cool idea, I have to say. I've got the HTC One. I downloaded the app. This app will not run while you are on battery or on just a data connection. This is purely when you're plugged in. I mean, this is like when you're plugging your phone at night and you're just at home and it's not doing anything else. And I really like it. So you install the app. You have to choose what projects you're interested in. There's explanations. You do have to create an account, which is a little bit annoying. Your name and username and password. But once you do, you're basically donating your computing power to these research projects. Really cool. So thanks, Christopher.
Is it HTC only? Like, can I use it on my Nexus 5?
It's a good question.
Yeah, you can do the Nexus 5. Nexus 5, Galaxy Note 2, Galaxy Note 3.
Cool, good. So it's not proprietary.
No, not at all.
It's not. I'm glad to hear that. The HTC One was the only one of my devices it was compatible with. It wasn't compatible with the Nexus 7 or the Samsung Galaxy, but I'm glad to hear that it's... which device is that? Nope. So it isn't just HTC, but it is by HTC.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, that's super cool. And I love that you can choose which project your computing power goes to. It reminds me of like when you go to the grocery store and you bring your bags with you. Like I think it was Whole Foods in San Francisco. If you did that, then they'd give you these little coins and you could go over and donate them to like one of like five different, you know, charities. Organizations or charities or whatever, and you could choose where your credit went to. It's kind of the same thing.
It's cool. Yeah, you get to pick the stuff that means something to you.
That means something to you. Yeah, it looks like I can install it on my five Moto X, and that's it of the devices that I have. But who knows? Maybe they'll open it up to more, but I think that's a fantastic way to use the cycles that you're not using while you sleep.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, let's take a break and thank our first sponsor for today's episode. That would be Prosper. If you knew that in 72 hours you'd have $35,000 to cover your needs, what would you do? Would you pay off high rate credit cards, start a business, do that home improvement project that I know I have a million of them to do, so maybe I'll do this and fund my home improvements. You fill out an easy online application, provide a few details, and see a rate online almost instantly. It's very easy through Prosper. They offer low fixed rates, unsecured personal loans, no collateral is required. And they even have multi-year terms that are available to you. You know, like I said, for me, my house is kind of our domain right now. And apparently when you buy a house, all of your spare time goes into fixing it and making it better. The problem is you don't have the money to sink into it all the time. Something like this could be very handy. You know, you get a leak in the kitchen or whatever, you need to redo the floors. This is a great way to approach that loan. Prosper is actually a Silicon Valley's answer to personal loans. With Prosper's innovative peer-to-peer lending process, there are no outrageous fees, no raising interest rates, and you'll never set foot in a bank. They have more than 2 million members and over $900 million in funded loans. And it's just great. I mean, you take peer-to-peer, just what we know of peer-to-peer technology, you know, using the power of many to fund whatever your project is just a really kind of interesting and revolutionary way to think about getting loans. So you can check it out for yourself. Just go to prosper.com/twit to check your rate instantly without affecting your credit score. It does not affect your credit score to check that out. For a limited time, Prosper is offering Twit viewers a $50 Amazon.com gift card when you get a loan. Go to prosper.com/twit. That's a special site just for our viewers here. And up to $35,000 in just 3 days, receive a $50 Amazon.com gift card when you get a loan. Prosper.com is not affiliated with Amazon. For gift card details, you can visit prosper.com/twit. And we thank Prosper for their continued support of All About Android. It's great to have you guys on board. All right, let's get into hardware. Okay. Oh, huh. That was a teaser. Oh. Now they know that there's an app segment up next. It's okay, Brian. Have you ever heard of OnePlus? OnePlus, and I'm hearing about this a lot lately. It's led by former Oppo VP Pete Lau. OnePlus Tech is creating some buzz around their intention to release what they call a no-compromise phone with the tagline, "Never Settle." That's quite a statement to make around a device. I'm sure there will be a lot of expectations when this device finally hits or when we finally see a picture, because we haven't actually seen a picture of this device yet. It's dubbed the OnePlus One. It will be running CyanogenMod 11, but it's actually going to be visually different from the AOSP-themed version of CyanogenMod by default. There's actually an option to set it to that, you know, normal, you know, straight up stock version if you prefer. So there's one way that you don't have to settle, I suppose. 2.3 gigahertz Snapdragon 800 with LTE support, a 3100 milliamp hour battery with, quote, mystery tech. I'm hoping that means battery technology that extends the battery, I imagine is what it is. They're doing this really interesting thing where every day they release a little bit of extra details on this device, and obviously it's to you know, build anticipation for the device. I think today's revealed announcement was maybe it wasn't today, but it was 5.5 inch 1080p JDI display. JDI is the same display maker as the HTC One, so if you like the display on the HTC One, that's what you're going to get there. And then Ev Leaks, famous leaker on Twitter, also let out that there would be an option of either on-screen or capacitive hardware buttons. So you have options there as well. Stereo speakers, completely unlocked. And they're saying $400 or less when it launches in Q2. So what do we think? Do we feel like this is all hype and you're skeptical? Or, I mean, this is from a manufacturer that we have not seen anything from yet. So at this point, all we have are a few of these promises. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Their marketing campaign is very aggressive.
Yeah, it really is.
I've seen EvLeaks. They're saying goodbye Moto, and it has like a knife and fork, and it's a bill to Google, and there's that whole no apps, and it's got the Windows logo just kind of poking fun at Windows Phone and the unfortunate lower end, App Store not as big as Android or iOS. Mm-hmm. They don't. I mean, I see where they're going, and I see their stance, but they haven't proven anything to us
right yet.
So hopefully whenever this does get announced and launched, that they are able to stick to their guns. Because if you remember, the Black Phone was this really cool looking phone. And then when we finally saw it at Mobile World Congress, most of us were like, oh, that's not as good looking as we thought. It wasn't, or it's not as sexy or as titillating as we thought it would might be. And mm-hmm. hopefully whatever these guys have. Now, this guy came from Oppo, and Oppo is a really great company, but I don't know if he's the design guy. You know, and so if he has a design mind, then that will trickle over mm-hmm. and the rest of his team will come up with something that really, you know, knocks the socks off. But until then, I'm still a little dubious because I don't know.
I give him credit for promising the perfect phone to Android enthusiasts, who are the most demanding group of people ever. I mean, there's, I don't know. I always think of like, whenever I hear people who are like, I just can't find the right phone. I mean, I get it because of course we're here and this is we're doing this show, right? But I always think of like Louis C.K. is like, you know, everything is amazing and no one is happy. Like, I don't know. Like, I think about what you could do with even the lowest end phone. Incredible, you know?
Everything is amazing, and yet we find things to complain is what the technology, technology news industry is built upon. That's just what we do.
Technology news, I think you just mean the internet.
Yes, the internet. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But isn't that the whole thing? Like, especially with Android, there's not a perfect phone because that's why Android is so lovable.
Yes.
Because you can mold it without rooting it. You can do whatever you want
totally.
To a certain degree without having to spend, you know, $400. You could get a Moto X, you know, for whatever the price is now.
But no matter what, I feel like so many times people get a phone and they're like, man, I love this phone. This is a great phone. If only the battery was just a little bigger, and then it'd be the perfect phone. Or actually, you know what? If it was 1080p instead of 720, then I'd love this phone. And that's why marketing like this probably really works, because they're saying this is everything to everyone, or maybe this is everything to enthusiasts. This is everything that you want. I mean, right out of the gate from what we're reading here, 3100 milliamp hour battery with mystery tech that is non-removable. So that right there gives people plenty of ammo to be like, oh, it's non-removable, then it's not everything I want.
Not the perfect phone. Fail.
Yeah, exactly. You suck. Yeah. But, you know, and they even explain, like, 3100 was a balanced kind of amount of battery. Or, you know, if we had to put in a removable battery, then it's going to make the phone bigger, add extra circuitry, which means, you know, a smaller battery probably, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So they balanced it out. So they had good reasons. But still, there is no such thing as a perfect phone. It's just too bad that when you get a phone that's near perfect, you can't swap out the things that you want for better things.
Well, that's what,
hello,
that's
Project Aura.
Project Aura, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Someday we'll be able to.
Someday.
And the phone will be this big.
Phone have that many seams in it though. I don't
right.
know. It all has to sort of go together.
Then you get a case.
Right. Yeah, that's
to smooth
point.
It out, I guess.
Can you read the blur? I'm like trying, I'm staring at it, see if it's gonna come in focus for me to, underneath.
Oh, your camera?
No, for the ad where they're showing
it. Right. They showed a little teaser image, but I mean really, that's not even a teaser image. It's like a pic, it's like gigantic pixels of three different colors. You're like, okay, there may be a picture underneath there. So anyways, I suppose we'll see if the OnePlus One can live up to its own hype.
I think we'll see what megapixel the camera is going to be. I think that's what the next one is on March 16th. That's my theory.
Probably. That makes sense that they go to camera next. Oh, yeah. No, see, and I'm not even sure.
And then a jetpack. It comes with a jetpack. That's the mystery tech.
Yeah. All right. So there's another one in town, right, Gina?
there is indeed.
It's a segue. Horrible segue.
The HTC One 2014, the all-new HTC One. We've talked about this a couple of times in the past few episodes. We now have more information about those two cameras on the back. Remember that poor kid who did that review? GSM Arena obtained a leaked Telstra brochure for the all-new HTC One, which tells us about those dual cameras. The feature is called Duo Camera, and it gives you dynamic focus to highlight the subject of your photos better, blur backgrounds, and 3D effects. So now, you know, we talked about this at one point, and I think I was being super cranky and said, don't give me another crap camera. Just fix the camera software so that I don't need two cameras in order to get good pictures. But I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and he said, oh, that's like the Lytro camera. Have you guys heard about this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it. And, you know, once I looked at the Lytro camera and I played around with some of the examples on the website where you can sort of drag focus and change the depth of field, I was like, okay. If this new HTC One Duo camera does this, then I rescind my original comments. So there you go. Another cool feature of the new HTC One, apparently you double tap the screen to wake it. And EvLeak says the all-new HTC One will also have a Play Edition, which I'm pretty happy about that. And the M8 is to arrive as a Google Play Edition as well. Oh,
well, yeah, they're kind of one and the same, essentially.
Right. They're,
I think the right. I think the M8 is like the code name for the
all-new One.
Yeah, even though we now know that the all-new, or did we know that for sure? Was that a confirmed name?
That was
name?
In the ad.
That was their ad. Okay. All right.
The all-new All right. One. So the figured, one so. Number two.
That's not a good
one.
Name. The all-new right. One.
Well, they have the 1X, the 1 Plus, and then now the 1, now the new one. But
and then the
other,
newest
the old
new
one,
one.
And the other one with the old one.
The one we were talking about earlier, and then the one I showed you yesterday, and then, yeah. Another one.
It's called 1.2? 1.2? Yeah. I don't know. The second one.
Right. The one 1.2. Yeah, so there we go. I'm very more and more curious to see the specific details of this at the announcement at the end of the month.
Yep. It seems like they're going to need some special software to do some of this editing, which wouldn't necessarily come on the Google Play Edition. So,
right. It could be that actually will be very interesting. I mean, you can speak for the Play Edition on the regular HTC One. It bypasses some of the camera functionality that you would get with their stock version because that software is just not built into the phone. So,
right.
Take that second camera. I mean, what does it end up being on the Play Edition? That second camera, just a dead camera, or
yeah, there's got to be. I don't know. Unless they're gonna release the app in the Play Store, or there are other apps which can deal with the two whatever format the two cameras take the photos in and do the editing in. Maybe the Lytro app will work, although that's iOS only right now. So that remains to be seen. But that actually might be a reason not to do the Google Play Edition. You know, with the Beats Audio, I was like, eh, whatever.
Right.
The IR, I was like, eh, whatever. But, you know, the fact that I'm going to have two cameras, and if it is specific to the HTC build, I might not do the Google Play Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Might you do this phone, though? Like, are you considering it? Because you just got
love
the HTC.
One.
Yeah.
I love the One. So I feel like the One 2 is might be right up my alley, I have to say. Although I did get my better half a Nexus 5, and I got to say, it's a little tough having that phone around the house because it is nice.
the grass is greener, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, it always is. Always is. The Android is always greener.
Well, speaking of the Android is always greener, we got an email that kind of touches on that subject. Ian wrote in and says, I really want to buy a new Nexus 7, but I'm scared a new one will be announced right after I buy one. Do you think we'll see another one, another new Nexus 7 this June or July? And that's a very good question. This is the buyer's remorse. How do you avoid it? That said, there's some speculation on what we'll see around Google I/O. There's some rumors that there'll be a Nexus 8, which will replace the Nexus 7.
and some additional rumors that that will be running the new Intel 64-bit quad-core Atom Moorfield processor that was unveiled at Mobile World Congress earlier this month, late February. And so, you know, some speculation that this new Nexus tablet would be, one inch larger, Nexus 8 inches. Have this much more robust processor and be able to do more and be able to have support for, you know, Intel's LTE platform and all that sort of stuff. That said, if you want one, just get one. Yeah. I have the first Nexus 7 that I got at Google I.O., two Google I.O.s ago? And I haven't had a problem with it. If you want one, get one. There's always going to be something better on the horizon. Always. Yes, exactly. So you can't live your life waiting for the next best thing. Someone will always have something better than you. Sometimes your significant other has a Nexus 5 and you don't. And you just don't understand what to do it yourself. But then sometimes you have a Chromecast and your friend doesn't. And so, you know, so like the thing is that there'll always be something. So if you got the money, just get the latest that you can. Get what you can afford and enjoy it. That's my advice. So I don't know if I'm alone in that, but
no,
cosine. I agree.
Nope.
Yeah.
Totally awesome. Agree.
So there you go, Ian.
I'm fully guilty of asking myself the same question, even though I totally agree in theory. Then when it comes down to it, I'm like, yeah, but it's just a month.
What have I been saying for months that I want to wear or that I want to watch? And I'm like, and I like the Pebble Steel and it looks really good, but now I'm going to wait for this Google thing.
Yeah. And you know, if you wait for the Google thing and it sucks, the next iteration of Pebble Steel will just be a few months after that. So you just wait a little bit for that. But that's going to get you closer to the next release of the Google one, they're probably going to iron out all the kinks and give you exactly what you want. So you might as well just wait a couple of more months for that.
And then you never get one.
App Store is a lot better now, so
that's true. They
fixed a lot of the glitches. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you remember back to the early days of All About Android, when a topic of conversation often was what will Jason's next phone be? I believe we debated for what, a year.
It was a long time. Yeah, I'm not sure if it was quite a year, but it was close. Yeah. Yeah, we might as well round up to a year.
And the thing is that it's kind of a balance between your need for the device versus your want for the device.
Yes, exactly.
I want a smartwatch. I don't need a smartwatch. If I needed a smartwatch, I would get the Pebble Steel like that. But because I don't need one, I can wait to see what's coming. If you want a tablet and you think that it will make your life better and therefore then it moves into that need category, just get it tomorrow, dude.
Yeah.
So.
Agreed. All right, let's thank another sponsor of today's episode, and that would be 99 Designs. Love 99 Designs, and it's good to welcome them back for yet another week. Are you dreaming about the perfect logo, website design? You don't know how to get that project started? You're worried about budgets? 99 Designs is here to help. They are the world's largest graphic design marketplace, and 99 Designs makes it easy to get a design that you love. All you have to do is go to the website. You tell them all about your design project, the design that you need, and you pick a price package that works for you. And then things get awesome at that point, because basically what you're doing is you're enlisting designers from all around the globe to submit directly to you through 99 Designs, their awesome designs, and you're going to give them feedback. And you're kind of in this position of power picking the project that works most for you and speaks to you directly about the project that you have. And within a week, you're going to pick your favorite, be the proud owner of an awesome new design. With over 270,000 designers at your fingertips, there's no limit to what you can get designed through 99 Designs. You can boost your brand's visibility with a t-shirt, you can get a car app design, drive more traffic with a sleek new banner ad on a page or landing page, redesign your social network pages. I mean, there's really no limit, and these designers are there to help you out with your project. And they're all kind of vying for your attention, so they all do great work, which makes it a very competitive landscape, and that just means great designs all around. Projects start at just $199. Your happiness, they say, is always 100% guaranteed. It's a good guarantee to have. So visit 99designs.com/AAA. You can get a $99 power pack of services for free. A power pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99 Designs Marketplace, and you'll get nearly twice as many designs that way. So visit 99designs.com/AAA. If this sounds good to you and you have a project in mind, You might as well roll on over to 99 Designs and check it out. We thank 99 Designs for their continued support of All About Android. It's a fantastic service, and I definitely advise you guys to check it out. Good for developers as well. If you have a great idea, just go over there and see what a designer will make your idea into. Speaking of apps, let's get into the apps section. All right.
A New York mom is suing Google. This is a really good story.
Yeah, it is.
She's suing Google over the fact that her five-year-old son bought $65 worth of virtual currency inside a game on her Android tablet. So this woman in New York, class action lawsuit. Her five-year-old son racked up $65.95 of charges from a game called Crystals on her tablet. She had password protection on. The password protection for Google Play is a 30-minute window of deactivation once a password is entered. So parent uses the password to install a game for a kid and then hands the kid the device. You know, a game maker might know this and sort of upsell in-app purchases kind of early on in the game and prompt the kid with power-ups and in-app purchases in that 30-minute window. And if the kid who was five taps and purchases, you know, kid could spend a whole lot of money. So this is an interesting case because, you know, Apple paid $32.5 million in fines related to this particular scenario as well. So we're going to see kind of where this goes. I mean, when I first saw this headline, my first reaction was, oh, but Android has kid mode. They have kid profiles. Like there's ways to limit that. And then my second thought was, wow, this five-year-old, like, that's pretty good. I was impressed by how well he used the game. I don't know. Do you guys think that Google has responsibility here that they should do more to limit in-app purchases, especially with games that are made for kids? Or is this kind of just a trumped up lawsuit?
I don't understand this. The purpose of the 30-minute window so you don't have to type in your password every time. I mean, if it's a payment situation, I think for privacy purposes and for security purposes, that should be a must.
Agreed.
I know with iOS, that's also the situation that if you download an app, it gives you like 15 minutes that you could download another app without having to type in the password. But it really should be the situation where, especially if there's going to be a monetary transfer, you need to put in your thumbprint, you need to put in your passcode or something. At the same token, though, this is the parents need to be educated about this. I don't know where they would be educated about this, but, you know, when my son wants to use my phone and he sees that he can buy more gas for the car in the Ridge Racer game that I'm playing, he says, hey, can I pay for this? And I just outright say, no, you cannot. And he says, okay, and he doesn't buy it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the type of relationship with the phone that he has. He knows that he has to ask me. And that's what parents need to take a little bit more responsibility on their end, that they need to say, okay, I'm giving my child this device that has all of my information on it. And even with the kid mode, I need to take the proper and necessary steps to make sure I'm not going to get hit in the long run. So sure, Google needs to do something, and the developer, they need to stop these bait apps. That's just not, that's not good for anybody. But
Tony, I agree with you on one part, but I'm going to play devil's advocate and disagree on the other part. I absolutely agree with you that there's an education process has to happen with parents and the kids. And the scenario that you say where the kid's playing the game, hey, can I buy this? And yes or no. And I mean, in this case, if this was me and I did this on my dad's phone, I don't get to use the phone anymore. That's how it works. Like, that's how, you know, like right. That there's got to be that manager of the child. That said, the constant putting in of passwords drives me crazy. And it's one, and I know it's not secure, and I know it's not the popular safe thing, but like one of the reasons why I was so happy to get away from iTunes and iOS and all that fun stuff was because it asked me to put in my password every time I did anything. And there's a certain point where I'm the only person using my device, I have control of it. I want a window where, yeah, I'm playing this game, I don't have to type in my password every time, because guess what, my password is like 16 characters. It's got capitals, it's got characters and all that sort of stuff. You know, to have to type that in every time is gonna make me not want to use the device anymore. So there's got to be
password look like
I know it's one
2, 3, 4. same password on my luggage.
Yeah, I was going to say cue the luggage joke.
but the thing is that so I agree that the 30 minute window probably is too generous. There probably needs to be some sort of additional windowing or additional switching between when an app is an in-app purchase and how it controls what a monetary purchase is and the approval of that. I think that they still need to develop how that's handled.
Just a little sway bar that says you want a 30-minute window, 15-minute window, 10-minute window. That would be fine, I think.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
I agree with all of you. honestly, I feel like in this regard, there are three players, right? There's the parents, there's Google, and then there's the developers. And they're all kind of contributing for this perfect storm. And I do think that Google I would love to have to enter in a password all the time, but I would love the choice to be able to do that. I think the problem, though, on Android is that so many of things are options that then you kind of get lost in the fact that it was an option. And, well, I didn't know it was an option, and, you know, because there's so many options that you have, and then it gets complicated because of that. Shortening the window period would be good. Developers have to know what they're doing when they're promoting these power-ups on kids' games early on in the game. Because how many times have I installed a game or a book, like a Dr. Seuss book, through the Play Store and immediately handed it to my kid because, you know, she wants something right now. I'm like, oh, hey, here's something. Here, have it. Like, it never occurred to me that there was a 30-minute window. And I feel educated about Android stuff, and that never occurred to me.
But you can't depend on the developers to do anything, because guess what? We live in America.
No,
they want to make money. And so, like,
absolutely. So they're going to do it.
It is no different than the impulse aisle at Walgreens. Right. You know what I mean? Like at the Walgreens by my office, there is a spiral of a walkway through that you need to go through that is filled with candy and toys and all that sort of stuff. It's the same thing.
Absolutely.
And the user has to show a level of restraint and a level of education with the child who's using it. And then Google has to do what they can to build parameters around what the developers can do. But the developers will do everything they can to get every dollar from you because it's capitalism.
Fair enough. That's a great point. Jeff Needles in the chat room says, how about a little prompt that says, don't ask me for the next X minutes, or, you know, a way to deactivate it, tick it off, so that when it's deactivated, then it's not saving your password. Honestly, in my mind, I always thought that it was prompting me for my password every time. That's where this story just kind of took me by surprise. It was like, 30-minute window. I've never heard of this 30-minute window. And then when I really thought about it, I was like, wait a minute. It totally is, because there are times when I install apps and it doesn't prompt me. And I just never thought twice about it. It's probably because I just installed something a few minutes before. Yeah. So there is a level of education around that. And yeah, I mean, do you blame the parents for not knowing this thing, that this kind of obscure functionality that happens behind the scenes? I don't know. Parents are responsible, but I think Google's also responsible. So there you go.
And restricted profiles are a fairly regular, pretty new feature.
How many people are using restricted profiles?
But it's only on tablets, right?
Again, I think it is actually on tablets and it's not on phones. And again, it's just kind of one of those things. It's like, it's another feature. Yes, it's awesome to have it. But how much does the public really know and understand the power or the benefit of doing that, or even that it exists in the first place to do it? I bet you, I guarantee you, so many parents have Android tablets and they have no idea that this kind of restricted profile thing even exists, and they're doing this, you know, installing and handing to their kids because they don't know any better. And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, it's just, it's kind of what we love about Android too, is that it has all of these things.
right. This actually did happen on a tablet. And I mean, Google could very easily make the argument in court, like, we've built this feature into our operating system to prevent this very scenario from happening. You know, if this mom had used this feature, restricted profile feature, this wouldn't have happened. Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to imagine, like, can Google prove that they've made an honest effort to prevent this kind of situation? Because she's saying that, you know, the developers are exploiting kids and that Google's letting them.
Right. And Ron, I completely agree with you. It is like the candy at the aisle, but the candy never costs $100. Like, these power-ups, like, right off the top, like, my kid knows that when there's a little prompt, she's going to click it, because she knows that that's a behavior on you know, tablets and computers now. So when she sees a little prompt with a little thing, she's not going to know that pressing that is a $100 charge. The developer knows that. And I would venture to guess that a lot of people don't knowingly click the $100 upgrade. Like, why would you buy $100 worth of goods in a game unless you're a super fan? I'm not saying that there aren't super fans of games, but anyways. So I think – so in that regard, I think, yes, the responsibility is shared. So. There we go.
Well, in much less interesting news
– come on, it's not that less interesting. Well, yeah. Okay.
Google updated the text-to-speech app, version 3.0. Look at that. And guess what? Now we've got high-quality voices and more languages.
On
pretty
Google
cool.
Now.
But guess what? This comes at a price. It may not be $100, but if you look at the file size of the high-quality voices, for example, the old U.S. female voice was 6.8 meg, and now the new high-quality voice is 244 meg. So if you're worried about how much space your text-to-voice support is taking, you might want to take a look at it before you download it.
Let's see here. Let's see if we can hear a difference. I just installed it.
It's high-quality, Jason.
I've heard that it's high-quality. Let me see. Hopefully I have the volume up. What time is it?
Time is 6:18 p.m.
Does that sound any different to you?
No. The same.
No.
Do you have to select it, or is it automatic that it chooses the
I did
high
select
quality
it.
Voice?
Yeah, I did select it. Hmm. Okay. Well. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
All right. That's fun. Cool. 200 some odd megs.
Apparently, Google Maps doesn't tap into this either, though.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of broken. There was a Google, Android Police article on this that's kind of like, okay, it's early days on this apparently because there's some, you know, some issues with it not working and everything, and Maps was one of them. So that's kind of weird. So could be cool. I mean, it's like it promises so much, but does it deliver? I'm not really quite sure. I feel like I'm missing something. Probably am.
You're missing 240 meg. That's what you're missing.
that's a couple of albums right there.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm missing. Well, that's okay because I will sign up for Samsung's new music service instead, Ron.
With the worst name ever.
Yeah, they have a new music service for your Galaxy device called Milk Music.
Got it.
God, what were they thinking?
Well, I'll tell you, Ron. They say the service is, quote, fresh and organic, hence
like milk,
milk music. Yeah. So,
I don't know what the
genre. I'll give a prize. No, sorry.
Who are the ad wizards behind this?
I don't know. That is just kind of a name, but I like the UI on it.
UI is very nice.
Yeah.
UI is very good.
So, Tony, did you just say that you have this and you've been playing around with it?
Yeah, I installed it on my Note 3, and it's essentially it's powered by Slacker, and I also have Slacker. Mm-hmm. So to a certain degree, it's a little redundant. What's nice about it is that it's free. There's no apps. You don't have to sign in with any kind of credentials. However, I have had instances where I've exited the app and I've gone back in there. And it said, to take advantage of updates, sign up for your Samsung account. And I was like, wait a minute. So I don't know if that's just something going on with my phone or not. But for the most part, it has a really nice playlist. It's not the same playlist that you would find on Slacker if you typed in, like, Asking Alexandria. You would get a completely different set of songs than you would get from Slacker. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it saves me $3 a month.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, you can't turn your nose up at free. Unlimited streaming, no offline cache, skip up to six songs per hour.
Six songs, yeah.
200 included stations, unlimited customization options. So it actually sounds like a pretty interesting service.
It's just a really odd name to choose.
Really odd name. And then, of course, you know, it's a Samsung product, so it's going to be limited to certain Galaxy devices. So it's not available to everyone, but that
which
doesn't
I understand.
Surprise me.
I
yeah.
mean,
it's not surprising.
In this crowded Android space, you know, Samsung has to kind of differentiate themselves from, you know, if they were to put that app on anything, then you can say, oh, well, I can just get a Nexus 5 and then I'll have the Milk app. But now Samsung says, well, now you can get the Gear and Milk and a cow and all this other stuff. And you have the Galaxy, Galaxy S5 and you'll be set. So that makes sense that it's somewhat of a walled garden, but it is a little scary that they're getting a little bit more. Well, this is us. And then there's Google Android. And I seem to think that Samsung made some sort of agreement with Google that they wouldn't do stuff like this, but maybe I'm thinking about something else. I don't know.
No, I mean, we heard that might be the case. We've not really gotten any sort of official anything on that. So who knows? And yeah, it's kind of seems to be bearing itself out over time that goes counter to that discussion. Yeah. But who knows? Thank you for the Clockwork Orange
nice
reference.
Nice Clockwork Orange.
Man, I have to go watch a great movie right now.
I watched that last week, actually.
It's a fantastic flick. So that's Milk Music. I'm stoked that you had that to show off. Thank you, Tony. What else do we have? Oh, this is good. This is good, Gina.
Let's talk Flappy Bird.
Okay.
You're wondering about the whole story behind Flappy Bird. We talked about it a little bit, but if you want to hear from the developer's perspective, Rolling Stone sent a reporter to Vietnam to talk to Dong Nguyen, who is the creator of Flappy Birds. He did a full interview, kind of telling his whole story. He tells the whole story behind the rise and ultimate removal of the game from the Play Store, from the iTunes Store. And he says that he is considering bringing it back, but with a warning that says, please take a break, which is what he tweeted a whole lot during this whole thing. Pretty fascinating read. Interesting. This whole story has been really, really interesting.
Yeah,
but you know, Ron was just saying, this is America. Developers are always going to try to make money. This is the other side of that story, where it's not
opposite.
America, and addiction is a bigger concern, and someone, you know, could walk away from a lot of money, a lot more money than pretty much anybody in tech in Vietnam, anyway. Makes the game is still generating tens of thousands of dollars for Nguyen, and he's making more games and adjusting to his new life. So check out that Rolling Stone article
Rolling Stone for getting the story.
Honestly,
I didn't see that one coming. Yeah.
Totally, but you know, out of nowhere, I had to imagine Dome got contacted by everybody. I know, I even reached out to him. I was like, "Come on, All That Android, let's get you on the show," just because, like, wow, if we could, that would have been awesome. But this story fascinates me suddenly. Like, reading through this and just kind of what he goes through, I actually really give him a lot of credit, and I completely empathize with his perspective. After, you know, the app started doing gangbusters, you know, it had been out for a long time before it actually caught waves and kind of became a viral hit. Once it happened, he really didn't tell his parents. You know, he was still living with his parents, but he's suddenly raking in all this money, trying to keep a low profile. He's obviously not a high profile dude. And suddenly the local news picks up on it. And now he's got people camped outside his place and people contacting him, you know, from Vietnam saying, your game is destroying our kids. Like, they're addicted to your game. And he authentically felt bad about creating this game that is like stealing the attention and the minds of all these people. And, you know, ultimately he just like made a decision. He said, you know, I do have control over the situation. This is tearing me up. I can remove it and be done with it. Of course, that's not necessarily the case. He removed it, but he's still making all of this money because all these people still have it and are playing it. And, you know, now I think he's kind of adjusting to this like kind of celebrity style life that he suddenly was thrust into. It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah. Crazy story.
But and possible return of Flappy Bird, and probably the guy is going to get some press on whatever game he comes out with next, because wow.
Is it sad that as I was reading this, I was like, oh no, if I get a new phone, I won't be able to reinstall Flappy Bird.
I'm sure you'll be able to dig up the APK.
There's got
to
be a way to do that.
There's got to be a way to sideload it, right?
Yeah. Sideload.
I want to give him my money. Take it, please. Anyway, cool. Some more interesting app news. And Gina, this one's for you. unfortunately, it's not for you, because if you have a Nexus 5 and it's rooted and you're signed up for the beta channel of how do we pronounce this? Koosh? Is that a
Koosh?
Koosh? Of Koosh's awesome Allcast app, then you might soon be able to mirror your screen to your Chromecast. So the Allcast app that is probably the killer app for Chromecast, if you have a rooted Nexus 5, you'll be able to unlock your wildest potential between your Nexus 5 and your Chromecast, which is awesome. So, yeah. Jason, have you got a chance to play with this yet? Or
no, I don't. My device is not rooted. I still haven't rooted my Nexus 5.
I thought you rooted your device. You see, I don't have a rooted device, so I can't do it.
No. I haven't rooted it, and I'm really wondering if I'm going to.
Chat room.
What's that?
Root it. I'm gonna get in trouble if I steal her Nexus 5 and root it.
Oh yeah, that's a curious. Gotta ask yourself. Yeah, I think we had that topic on the show.
I think
months
that's a
ago.
Great idea, Gina. I think you should just go right ahead and do that. I mean, this what like could happen?
So, clearly, it'll be so good for my relationship. I'm sure that if she sees
come
me
of this?
casting the screen to the TV, she'll be so enchanted by whatever I completely rip. That'll be no problem.
Yeah, people in the chat room are like, what are you worried about? Rooting is safe. Look, yes, it is. It can be safe. It can also go awry.
It's safe for the phones which I own.
Yes, exactly.
It's not okay.
Exactly. Choosing to root somebody else's device. I mean, when my wife asked me to root her device, I you know, and she was asking me to do it, I was still like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I want to be responsible for anything that might happen.
I would, the right answer in that scenario, Jason, is to turn around and run. You just run because then nothing good can come of it. Nothing. I'm scared to root my own device, much less someone else's.
Fair enough.
Oh, my Lord.
So this next app I had to throw in here in the app segment. I came this close to having it be my arena pick.
I thought it was going to be. I was going to predict it.
Thought it was going to be two, and then I was like, you know what? It's kind of the obvious pick, and I wanted to feature something else, but I still want this dang game on the show. So I put it in the app segment because it's a lot of fun. Have you guys played Quiz Up?
I've actually just challenged you before the show.
I'm sorry I didn't see that because I don't know how Quiz Up is doing their like social network thing, but I am getting hammered in requests from people. I can't play the game enough.
But you're a celebrity.
I feel like I'm not yet. I still am. So I have to imagine that everybody's getting hammered like this. But you just okay. So what is it? What is Quiz Up? I believe this was an iOS game before it was an Android game. But it's essentially a trivia game, and you know, you can sync it up with your Google Plus or your Facebook or whatever. So of course, like, you know, you end up with a large list of people that you can challenge directly, or you can challenge at random, essentially. And I don't even think the people on the other end have to be online at any given point. They can be, but what you can do is you can challenge. So let's see here. Hey, Jeff Needles suddenly somehow figures out how to get on to All About Android. Jeff, you little sneaker. Okay, so here we go. So I'm going to play this game. I don't have the audio up. Sorry about that. I don't have it plugged in, but I don't have time to change it. All right, so we're waiting for Jeff Needles to follow through on his promise to show off Quiz Up. So essentially what it is, it's a multiple choice quiz game. And both of you are presented, you know, like 5, 6, 7 different questions on a given topic. And you each have to answer as fast as you can, as right as you can. And then, of course, you know, as you win along the way, you level up and all this kind of stuff. So I'm going to see if I can show this off and still do well. So this is Logos. Round one, get ready. What company uses this? Visa? All right. Yeah. See, so we both kind of got in there at around the right time, the same time. 20 is the point for that. This would be Calvin Klein. So there we go. All right. I love this game when I've got people to help me. So let's see here. DC Shoes.
DC Shoes.
And I'm giving Jeff the answers on this show too. This is, of course, Jurassic Park. Sometimes oh man, Jeff, you got that wrong. Booyah! Uh-huh. There you go. Okay, round five. WordPress or
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Yeah.
Nice. Excellent. Thank you, Gina.
Dodge the bullet there.
Yeah. Well, there was no WordPress to pick. So Kodak. I almost went Kodachrome. Sometimes they throw those in there to like throw you off. And then you get a bonus round, 2x bonus. What is this? What band?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
There we go. Okay. All right. Boom. Jeffrey Needles, you went down.
Of course, oust.
I won. Nice. Jeff, go ahead and take a screenshot of this, Jeff Needles. Remember this forever. So as you there we go. I'm sorry, Austin. I can't play every game, so I'm going to reject you, but you're awesome. So there you go. So you end up getting all these stats right, and you level up, and it allows you to rematch or play a different. You can even chat. You can take a look at all these stats and go over all of your answers and see where we went right, where you went wrong. It's really addictive because these games kind of fly by, right? Like you only spend about a minute playing the game and then it's done. And then you can go right into another one. And Yeah, apparently it's my turn on a lot of these things. Whatever. It's a lot of fun. So it's called QuizUp, and because it's iOS and Android, the sea of players on this is tremendous. So you have
this is the latest Draw Something, or yes. what was the music one? Song Pop?
That
we were addicted to?
Oh yeah, Song Pop. Yeah, exactly. My thought when I saw this was, if Eileen was still on the show, this would be her Android arena.
And the thing is that because I remember Draw Something and I remember Song Pop, I haven't installed it because I'm not going down that road again.
Yeah, so. It's a lot of fun though. I'll give it that. It's a great game. Have either of you guys played it?
Not yet, but it looks dangerous.
It is dangerous.
I play it daily.
Yeah.
I've had it for like 3 days, and it's this one thing I do before I go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. It's really hard to put it down. I'm afraid to open it because once I open it, I'm like, oh, I'll just do another.
But what's cool about it is that if you ever do decide to chat with those people, they're like from Portugal or Spain.
All over.
China.
Totally.
Oh, hi. How's it going over there? Yep. And, you know, sometimes they're cool, sometimes they're not. But, you know, that's what you get.
That's what you get. All right. So, Jeff, I'm sorry that I destroyed you with the help of the rest of the crew today. The rest of the crew, thank you for helping me destroy Jeff. All right.
Gladly will help destroy Jeff. We're kidding.
We got your back.
We love you, Jeff Needles. All right. Let's take a quick break before the arena and thank our final sponsor for today's episode, Lynda.com. Lynda's awesome. It's an online learning company that can help you or anyone learn creative software and business skills that you can use to achieve personal, professional goals, whatever you have in mind. I mean, they just have a ton of videos. Lynda.com subscription gives members unlimited access to a vast library of current and engaging video tutorials across a wide variety of subjects, everything from creative and software skills to business negotiation, app development, all sorts of things. Lynda.com, you'll learn how to code, create, and build Android applications in Java, from the foundations of object-oriented Java programming to using the Android API to create engaging mobile apps. You'll learn to develop apps for today's popular desktop and mobile platforms, building web apps with .NET, .PHP, MySQL. You can improve your language skills with JavaScript, Ruby, C, C++, R, much, much more. I was actually watching the other day a video by Larry Crane, who is the engineer at Jackpot Studios and a recording studio in Portland, but also the editor and founder of this fantastic audio magazine called Tape Op. It's actually free, so you should check that out. And he's just kind of going through his production approach and how he mixes and masters music. And I mean, I can watch that stuff day and night. I love it. And it turns out Lynda has a ton of that stuff in their library. So you can improve your skills, learn new software, keep up with technology, just tons of courses, over 2,000 with new courses added daily. If you are into Android programming, if you're a developer or a budding developer, they have Foundations of Programming, Android App Development with Java Essential Training, Android SDK Essential Training, up and running with Java applications, building and monetizing game apps for Android so you can make the next QuizUp. I don't know. I'm just saying it's possible. Instructors are working professionals at the top of their fields and expert teachers. And the quality of the productions is top-notch, state-of-the-art studios that they're doing these in. It's not homemade videos that you're going to find through an easy search on YouTube. And it's all curated course content. With a careful structure, you can learn start to finish, or if you want and you prefer, you can jump to a specific chapter and find a one nugget that you're looking for specifically. They're just really easy to follow videos, and they have searchable transcripts, so it makes it really easy to search through and skip right to a portion of the video. You just click it in the transcript, and the video player takes you right to that point. All experience levels, beginner, intermediate, advanced, covering all sorts of technical skills, creative techniques, business strategies, and more. And finally, if you have a computer as well as a tablet and a mobile device, Lynda's Android app allows you to swap between them and pick up where you left off on whatever device you happen to be. So your busy schedule becomes a little bit easier to manage with their content. And finally, like I said, you can check out the new Lynda.com Android app on the Google Play Store. They have that there available for you as well. So make sure and get that and watch from your device. So here's what you can do if this sounds interesting to you. It's only $25 a month for access to the entire Lynda.com course library. Or you can pay $37.50 a month and that will subscribe you to the premium plan, which includes exercise files that let you follow along with the instructors using the same project assets that they do. And you can try lynda.com right now with a free 7-day trial. Visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid to access the entire library. And that is over 2,000 courses, as I said, with more being added daily. And that's for free for 7 days. That's lynda.com, lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank Lynda for their continued support of the show. It's great having you guys on board. I love your videos and your learning material. All right, let's get into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Whoa, I hadn't looked at last week's poll. This is neck and neck right here. How is this possible? There's two apps tied for first and two apps tied for second.
Whoa, look at that.
How is this possible? Huh. Is this possible? I suppose anything's possible, but who hasn't voted yet, Father Robert? Well, see, your vote is needed. Okay, well, so Hitbliss and Calorie Counter MyFitnessPal are tied for first at 28%. Then Zombie Gunship and Disconnect Search tied for second at 22%. And my brain just exploded. So there we go. What are you going to vote for, Brian? Huh? Okay, you're going to vote at random because you didn't watch last week's episode. That's okay. We'll just go with what we know. And I guess that means, Gina, you go first because you're Disconnect Search, right? That was your app?
Yeah, I'm Disconnect Search, and I just floated to the bottom.
Oh, man.
What a rough 2014 for me in the arena, guys.
You're so close to not falling.
Yeah, I really need some help. All right, so cool. So I'm in. Tonight, I am in. I'm really excited about this app I picked tonight. It is called Notifications Plus. That's plus, like as in like a plus sign. Yep. And Jason, I realized that I did not totally prepare you to demo this app because what this app does is it mirrors your notifications on your Android device to Chrome. And in order to do that, you have to have both the Android app and a Chrome extension installed. So I'm sorry, Jason, I forgot to tell you about the Chrome extension.
No, that's fine.
So it's free for basic mirroring. So you install the app and then you install the Chrome extension and you click on the Chrome extension to register your browser and you sign in with Google. This is all tied into Google Cloud messaging. You sign in with Google, you say, hey, this is my browser. Hey, this is my phone. And now whenever you get a notification on your phone, you see it on your desktop. About 20 episodes ago, I featured an app that does something very similar, Pushbullet. And I've been using Pushbullet ever since. And I got to tell you, I don't know. I can't operate now without seeing my phone's notifications on my desktop. Just work all day, I'm looking at a screen and I don't have to be looking at both screens. And it's really a nice way to work. And Notifications Plus is very, very similar to Pushbullet. It has slightly fewer features, but it's a little more streamlined. Running the two of them side by side, they really kind of offer similar features. So like I said, you have to install a Chrome extension, you install the Android app, you set a password which encrypts your push data. They're sending push data through Google Cloud messaging, but they are encrypting it, so it is at least secure. You can connect multiple devices to your Chrome, so multiple browsers, multiple devices. You can get your tablet and your phone notifications to Chrome. And it's got a couple of really cool settings. You can set custom per app timeouts. You can say, hey, if I get, really important email, make that stick for 30 seconds. Or if it's an Instagram like, show that for 3 seconds, then dismiss it. You can say, don't ever show me Hangout pushes. Like Hangouts, I was getting notifications in Chrome. I was getting notifications from, Notifications Plus from my phone. You can say, just don't ever show me notifications of this ever again. So you can customize on a per app basis. You can say, don't push me notifications if my phone's screen is on, which is really nice. Like if I'm looking at my phone, don't push it to the screen. You can say, only show me notifications if I'm on Wi-Fi, which could save you some data. So like I said, for basic notification mirroring, it is free. You can upgrade to Pro for, I just did that tonight, it was $2.42. I think there's some, obviously some currency exchange going on there. And when you upgrade to Pro, you get the ability to dismiss a notification on the device from Chrome, which is also really nice. That means you don't see your notifications twice. So you get the notification in Chrome, and then you say dismiss this on device, and it clears it away. You never have to look at it again. So what Notifications Plus has that Pushbullet doesn't have? Per-app timeouts, that user password encryption, and not pushing if the device's screen is on, which is a really handy feature. But what Notifications Plus doesn't have that Pushbullet has is a really nice web interface. Like with Pushbullet, you can push from the web, you can push to friends, you can push lists, you can push maps, map points. So if you're interested in this kind of thing, you might want to look at Pushbullet as well. But Notifications Plus is really, really nice, kind of new entrant to this kind of field of app. And I really recommend this. It's so nice, especially if the kind of person like me who's like at a, you know, desktop computer all day, also with my phone, also with my tablet. I just get to see everything in one place. It's really nice, really seamless. Notifications Plus. You should vote for me.
There you go.
Now I'm really begging.
That's awesome. I wish I could have shown it off better on the tablet. I apologize about that. Because I did actually install the Chrome plugin on my browser at the desktop. It was right before the show, so it probably hadn't synced or something. But yeah, that looks awesome. And I love Pushbullet. I mean, that's like become one of those apps that I get a new device, it goes on right away. So
yeah.
For this very reason, once you start getting those notifications on your desktop, it's really hard to not have them.
It's true. So
awesome. Well, that is Notifications Plus. And Ron, you are up next.
Cool.
And I'll try and show this off for you.
Yeah, I don't know how much you can show it off or how much we want to show the screenshots from the Google Play Store. But this app was interesting, and I'm going to get to what put it over the top for me after I tell you about it, how it works, because it's got one little bit of functionality that is pretty neat. But so the app is called App Habits. And this is similar to those apps that I kind of think of my paid apps or things like that, that analyze the apps that are on your device. It works on, I've got it both on my phone and on my tablet. And after you use your devices for a while, it basically keeps track of all of the applications that you use and how long you use them. So at its core, what it will do is it will tell you, hey, here are your top five applications you use. You know, you use Facebook for 6 hours and you use Chrome for an hour and Skype for 15 minutes and that sort of thing. And it will basically give you a lot of organized data about your app usage, how long you used it, how long your average session of using it is, what time of day you're using it, that sort of thing. And so if you're one of those real kind of metrics, data hungry people about your app usage and that sort of thing, this is going to be great for you. But what I thought was really interesting about it was that it has a launchpad aspect to it, which is basically will collect the apps on your phone that you use the most. So it will identify. So if you look at your app drawer compared to your launchpad on App Habits, you'll notice that you probably have way more apps than you actually use. And so if you're worried about maintaining, memory, you know, and space for apps, if you're running out of space, App Habits will let you basically point out the apps that you're just not using and you should uninstall. But additionally, what it also has, it includes a notification pane, kind of a notification notifier, and it will look at your app usage by day and via the notification pane suggest apps based off the time of day. Oh. So basically, like on average, I'm probably getting on the train to go home from work around 6:30 every day. And I probably sit my butt down in the seat and I open up my phone and I probably go to Twitter next. It picked up and goes, time to use Twitter. Like that's a neat little thing. And so yeah, it's minimizing the jump between you turning on your phone and launching the app by using your own behavior. If it knows that you're going to be using, you know, email at this time or Twitter at another time or a game or whatever it might be. So pretty neat. The combination of tracking the statistics, getting the information, but then also giving you a functional tool that you can use to help use your phone in a faster, more efficient way, I thought was pretty neat. So it's totally, I believe it's free from App Habits. The developer Orthogonal Minds have just created one app. They had a little, if you read the comments on the app, they had a problem with the battery drain issue because as you can imagine, this is the kind of app that is always listening and recording, but they appear to have fixed that and everyone's reporting that it's been fixed, so you don't have to worry about that.
But yeah, it's a neat little data plus behavioral launcher kind of application. So there you go, App Habits.
That's awesome. I love the chart that kind of shows you time of day per app and you know,
and it's well designed. I mean, it's using Holo. I mean, like it's a current design, and it's really easy to use. And again, if you're a data junkie, it's right up your alley. So
yeah, absolutely, awesome.
So yeah, so vote for me.
we're gonna get to the point where we take the political approach, right, and wrap it up to the person on the other side of the glass. All right, so that is App Habits. That is free in the Play Store. And Tony, you're up next. What you got?
I have Fiveby. And essentially, this is video in the form of StumbleUpon. If you remember, StumbleUpon basically allows you to go from one website to another, just kind of literally stumbling into it. And it's very apropos because they actually were acquired by StumbleUpon about a year ago. And so essentially, if you open up the app, you have something called Concierge. And what's really nice about this Concierge is that right off the bat, it says something like, it's Tuesday evening. What kind of video would you like to look at? And based off of what you're doing, it can say, well, I'm interested in, well, as you can see, they're bungee jumping, or I like trips to the space, and my friends are cool. They're geeks. And based off of those things, it will basically come up with videos that relate to you. And once you've finished that startup registration process, then it will go into more. You can sign without, I think. Or not.
It's a sign with the email. That's okay. I'll do that.
Okay. All right.
You can take hey, Brian, can you take the Play Store for a second?
So, like, I'm looking at mine, but if as you look at the Play Store, you have it says, I've got videos for geeking out, forgetting your troubles, or things like, for me, between meetings. So if you only have, like, 3 minutes between meetings and you just kind of want to watch a video of a fail video or a funny prank video or something like that, instead of going to YouTube and typing prank video 3 minutes long, this basically aggregates all of that and comes up with essentially playlist and shows you videos from different categories like South by Southwest, cars, history, electronics, cover bands, comedy skits. And similar to StumbleUpon, as the video is playing, you can actually just swipe on the screen. It'll just skip to the next video. And if you're not into it, you can skip to the video after that. And what this is really nice about it, what's really nice about it is that they aren't the same videos that might be at the top 20 on YouTube or anything like that. These are they're pulled from all across the internet. And so so there you go, Jason. So you can choose maybe not that you're on the John, but that you're geek, that you're interested in geeking out or whatever. And then you can choose like music or electronics, etc. And as you can see there, it tells you can swipe left to right. And then you got a little bit of American Idol or Britain's Got Talent.
Britain's Got Talent.
Or you can swipe back. You can swipe to the right. Say, hey, I don't want to watch Rick Astley. I want to check out the Britain's Got Talent. And at the bottom right-hand corner, as the video plays...
It really wants to Rickroll me right now.
It really wants to Rickroll you. There you go.
I tried to go away, and it's just not going to... It's never going to give up.
Literally. At the bottom right-hand corner, you've got – if you touch the screen, you've got those little happy faces, and you can rate the video. And then if you really, really like the video, there's that star that pops up. And there you go. So, yes, it's basically asking for either your Facebook or your just email integration, whatever you prefer.
Skip. Would like to post to Facebook for me. No, skip. Here, how about just to...
See, I said okay, so it's
I don't want a Facebook post. Whatever, there we go. Reaction posted to Facebook. No!
But there's a... If you hit the screen again, there's a little star, and then you can make that video your favorite video. And then you can always go back to that video if you ever want to like replay that particular video for your friends if you can't find it on YouTube or anything like that.
Cool. I'll totally go back to Rick Astley all the time.
You can share that video through your different social networks or through email or what have you. But I think the cherry on top to all this is that as of, I want to say, last week, this is all Chromecastic now. It's the Chromecast has been enabled on this app. So you can share it up to your Chromecast and you could swipe through the videos on your phone and you could see them change on your screen just in perfect Chromecast fashion, if you will. And it's been an interesting tool for me to kind of find new videos of different comedy skits because there's a channel purely for comedy stand up and there's a channel for educational like history because I'm really into history buff. There's a Star Wars channel because I listen to Star Wars Minute every morning, so I'm into that and I want to watch some Star Wars stuff. There's a lot. So awesome. Vote for me because you like videos and Menage Quad and Rick Astley and Rick Rolling Jason.
Apparently, yes, I completely got Rick rolled by this app. So thanks for that, Tony. Ah! What is going on? You jerk. That's our technical director, Brian, for you. Thank you so much, sir. I really, really appreciate that. All right, so that is five by. Excellent. Now I got to figure out how to get out of this because, it probably has the integration of the full screen. That's what it is. I was trying to figure out how to exit out of it to get my controls because it takes over the screen. Even when you touch the screen, it doesn't. But you have to swipe down from the top to get them to appear. I always forget about that. It's a new Android kind of thing. So
there you go. I've seen that on the little games I've been trying. They're going on full screen, and they give you a little like swipe down to use it. Yeah,
right. So, the shade swipe down from the top to reveal the controls, which is really nice. It's an immersive mode, I believe, is what it's called. So cool. That's five by. Now the app that I chose is a game, and I just had a lot of fun with it. It's called Smash Hit. And I know I'm not the first person on the network to show this off because I think Leo actually showed it off on Mac Break Weekly earlier. But I had such a great time with this game, and it's super kind of relaxing and enjoyable with the sound because it has all this glass breaking and everything. So basically, what is it? It's a 3D kind of single track game. I'll go ahead and start here, where you have a certain amount of steel balls and you have these obstacles, and what you have to do is break the pyramids essentially in the beginning, right? So it's kind of nice to go through here and break them. You have a certain amount of those, so you don't want to run out of them. And it's always fun to break things. There are power-ups, so you can see right now I have two steel balls. And as I go through this track, eventually there's these things that get in your way. If you don't hit them, then you'll run into them and that'll take away some of your ammo essentially. So you have to get rid of these as it comes in. You know, obviously with a game like this, the further you get, the crazier it gets and everything, and the obstacles are just flying at you left, right, and center. But I have fun playing this game. It's a lot of fun. It's really enjoyable, and for some reason it's really satisfying to throw these balls and hear the glass breaking. I need more stress relief in my life.
I'm very impressed you can talk while doing this.
I am too. I didn't think that I was going to be able to play and talk at the same time. But and who are the makers of this? It's made by the same team. I'm going to totally die now that I'm looking. It's made by Mediocre, and they did a few other awesome apps. Sprinkle, if you ever played that, or Granny Smith. And they've been working on this for months and kind of teasing it out and everything. And I don't know. I like it. It tracks your progress so you can see how far you've gotten. Like, it shows you when you're passing it and all that kind of stuff. And you can, you know, try and obviously beat your score. But it does a really good visual representation of when you pass it, how far you got. And, of course, it syncs up to Google Plus Games as well. So you can kind of track all of your stats and compare it against all your friends. And I don't know. It was enjoyable to me. I like it. So there you go. This is Smash Hit. Has a nice little soundtrack to it as well. Nice minimal techno soundtrack, actually. But it's a lot of fun. So check it out. And it is free. Yes, it is free. So that is it for the apps in this week's arena. You can visit our poll at AAApoll.com/152 to vote for your favorite of the apps that we covered today. Is it Notifications Plus, App Habits, Five By, or Smash Hit? And what are we seeing? Hey, there you go, Gina. Notifications Plus out on top, right at the start.
Might have a shot. I'm going to start running attack ads. You don't want to vote for that guy, Ron.
Wow.
He picks weird keyboards. It's not good. You got to vote for me. I'm the very approachable, friendly woman in the group. You want to vote for me.
I think App Habits has the long tail, you know, our downloading audience, the folks who vote on Sunday. I think it's really going to resonate with them.
No.
Yes, we need some of us to reach across the aisle.
Exactly.
To reach a compromise. Anyway, so you can vote AAApoll.com/152, and that is it. And apparently Brian is voting for Gina's app. Good choice,
gotta go
Brian.
With Gina. Yeah.
Good choice.
Thank you.
Especially
thank
after
you very
Ron
much.
And my last arena fight, so.
So yeah, Brian knows which side the bread's buttered on this show. He knows where his allegiances are. Hey, you're just lucky I'm not there this week, Brian.
Why I oughta. Yeah. Awesome stuff. Great show, you guys. Tony, it's awesome having you back on board.
It's always
good
to be here.
Thanks for joining us once again. Fill people in as far as where they can find your work and find you online and all that stuff.
Sure. You could hit me up on Google+, Tony Hannity's, LTG Tony on Twitter. The LTG show on LazyTechGuys.com. We have a podcast going on every Tuesday night live on Google+ Hangouts, so you can check us out there. And I'm actually doing an alpha show at the Twit Studios, the mobile lounge. So we're not exactly sure what days that we're going to do it in. Obviously, we don't want to have it this same time as your show with the Android apps. But on the mobile lounge, we talk about Android, iOS, BlackBerry, Windows Phone, Palm, maybe. I mean, anything mobile centric, from patents to the business behind it to new hardware and stuff. So
awesome,
yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So, and you, I think you've been in on Fridays lately, kind of working with that, right?
Monday and Fridays, yeah.
Are episodes of that kind of like the alpha episodes available anywhere for anyone that might want to watch them, or is it just kind of tuning in live at this point?
Yeah, it's okay. Tuning in live. So
okay, cool. Well, I imagine monitor your Twitter and to find out when that happens. LTG Tony. And thanks once again, Tony. It was awesome having you back. Gina, what you got going on? I know you're always busy these days. What you busy with?
Yeah, you know. When I'm not sitting down in my mom's basement talking to y'all on the Skype, I'm working on getting my startup off the ground. That's thinkup.com. We are launching public signups this week in waves, awesome. In limited waves. So if you want to know when it's available to you, you should sign up on the waiting list right now. Go to thinkup.com. Pop your email address in there and you'll be one of the first to know. I know that Ron and Jason already have their ThinkUps. They are crowdfunding campaign backers, which I really appreciate. And so that's what I'm doing when I'm not here. But I am also on the Twit Network on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on This Week in Google with Jeff and Leo. And I'll be on tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to that. And, whatever. I got a few other things going on. You can always find me on Twitter or Google+, and just at my nameplate site, ginatrapani.org.
Radical. Love you, Gina. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah,
always great.
Thank you. Fun show. Always a fun show.
Yeah, always a good
I just
time.
Put my email in.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
No, ThinkUp's awesome. It's rad. It's a really cool way to kind of break down your Twitter activity and see it all. It's very cool.
Thank you.
Ron, what about you, sir?
Cool. So you can find me over at about.me/RonXO, and that's got links to my Twitter and my Facebook and Google+ and all that fun stuff. You can go to Google+ at Google+.com/+RonRichards. And by day, you can check out imagecomics.com where I help working there to help put out some of the best comic books in the world. And we got digital comics that you can download and read on your devices. So that's always cool. And as I mentioned earlier, I was on Twit on this past Sunday, and I don't think I screwed up too much. I didn't get any hate tweets or anything like that, so I think I survived another Twit, so that was fun.
Ron, I watched the show. You did a great job.
Thanks. It was my first Dvorak, so I was that was quite enjoyable.
In person too.
Yeah. No, I think. Yeah. I think. But one of my friends who watched was like, "Yeah, I think he liked you," and I was like, "Yeah, I think he did too." So I'm gonna take that. So
excellent stuff. Dvorak, well, thank. Like me. Yeah. No, that's awesome. I honestly didn't realize that you were on Twitter, or actually, I did, and I have to talk to you afterwards because I have some bad news for you.
Wow, I thought NSFW would have done it, but nope, it was Twit.
No, yeah, it was Twit. It was the big daddy of the network. Brian, what is up with you? You've got stuff going on these days.
I'm keeping pretty busy. Uh-huh. Actually, I'll be TDing this week in Google tomorrow, so I'll see you tomorrow, Gina, because Chad's on vacation. But pretty busy with co-hosting Know How, and... if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm cranky_hippo, and you can enjoy many pics of my corgi, because I think
Doge.
That's nice. What populates my Twitter. Great show, guys. Had a lot of fun TDing it tonight.
Right on, Brian.
I really appreciate you TDing it while you're in hiding, Brian.
I gotta hide my identity. Next week, I'm gonna be modulating my voice.
Oh, I thought you already were.
I already am.
Excellent. Well, thank you, sir. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. My musical exploits at yellowgoldmusic.com. I need to do more music stuff, but that's going to happen because I just finished my studio at home, so I'm very happy about that. And I am working on an Android app show. Right now, it's looking like possibly the beginning of next month. I might actually be launching that, but we'll see. There's a lot of work to be done, but it's coming along nicely, and I'm very, very excited for it. So I will, of course, keep you all updated as that progresses. But that is it for this week. Thanks for yet another great episode. It was awesome having you guys on board. Thank you, chat room. You guys are always awesome. Send us a voicemail or leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or a video mail at aaa@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit that I check for voting stories up and down for the show, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA, as well as YouTube, iTunes, all that stuff. You can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.